Yo, this your man, Granddaddy IU. I'm chilling with the homie, the R man. You know what I mean? Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop. One love.
Turn up the bass!
You're listening to Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
What's going on? Back we are here on Down with the Kings. The Odd Man got it locked. And I'm pleased to be joined by our next guest. We'll take a pause in the music. I'm bringing our next guest, Smooth Stylin'. This cat from back in the day, you know, they call him the Barry White of the rap game, man. I'm pleased to be joined by none other than Granddaddy IU in the house. What's going on, man?
Yeah, what's up, man? It ain't nothing, man. Out here just chilling.
Nice,
you
know? I wonder, out of curiosity, how many times have people come to you and said, what does IU stand for?
Man, if I had a dollar for every time, I'd be rich. Trust me.
So for our listeners out there that think that IU stands for something, break it down for them just so that they know, because I bet you people go, yeah, what does it stand for?
Actually, that's my real name, but it's just a simplified way to put it, because my real name is Arabic, you know what I'm saying? But if you've seen it on paper, you would definitely mispronounce it. So what I did, you know what I'm saying, when I was young in school, you know what I'm saying, I just put I dot U dot, you know what I'm saying? So
that's it.
Because A-Y is A-Y-U-B. If you've seen it, if you see A-Y-U-B on paper, you'd be like, Ayub,
with a first name like Audley, I get it loud and clear. I've called everything. I've gotten it all, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But which is funny. You know, we talk a lot on this program about the golden era of hip hop and how special of a time that was. You know, you were a guy that was out there back then, really doing your thing. If you sort of stop and sort of think back at sort of what memories, what stands out for you from that time, what kind of things come to mind for you?
Man, a lot. Specifically, like, when, like, certain artists dropped, you know what I'm saying? They, like, the market wasn't saturated back then. So, like, we had certain staples. Like, you had KRS, you know, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, Coogee Rap. And whenever they dropped, like, it was, like, monumental. You know what I'm saying? Like, now artists drop shit and you don't even know. Like, oh, word, they got an album out? Like, nah, it wasn't like that. Everybody knew, like, shit, like, time stood still when that shit came on the radio. You'd be like, oh, shit. Like, yeah.
Right.
Now, like, everybody doing
it
now.
Almost like monumental in the sense, oh, so-and-so's album dropped, we got to check that out, we got to go. Like, I mean, you know, I can remember myself back in the day going, yo, we got to go to the record store right now, because so-and-so's album dropped, we got to go get it. It's different now, isn't it?
Way different. And you had to go buy, you had to have your own copy of, you had to have the actual shit, like, wasn't no downloading and, you know, sharing and all that bullshit. Like, you wanted to read the inside, the credits and all that shit, you know what I mean? Like, now it's like, they don't give a fuck. They just download this shit.
And it's funny when you talk about the credits as an example, because that was a big part of the buying experience. Like, you know, when you bought, you wanted to know who was producing and who was on it. And, you know, I remember the first thing I used to do is run through and go, who was featured? Who, you know, who guests you got? So, like, you wanted to know all that. That was part of it.
Yeah. Now, especially, you lost it. Now it's like, whatever. Like, if they can't get it for free, they don't even want it. Like, and then they got Spotify and all different ways of them just getting your shit. And the artists is, like, losing out crazy.
That's it. And, you know, I remember back in the day when, you know, guys would be selling, you know, cassettes on tables on the corner of the street.
Yep.
I mean, that's the most you had to worry about. But now it's a whole different animal.
And then you go turn their fucking booths over and take your fucking CDs. You know what I'm saying?
How many boots did you turn over?
Million.
I love it. No, man, you got to protect yourself as an artist, and now it's totally, totally different, and almost that, you know, I get it. Things change. Nothing stays the same way always. But it just seems that if you weren't sort of keeping up with the times, that you got left out.
So that kind of
leads me to what kind of things have you done to sort of keep yourself active and not be left behind?
I just stick to my script. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't try to chase what the new artist is doing, because I'm not a new artist. You know what I'm saying? I just stick to my guns. Like, when I grew up, off of soul music and certain old school reggae and shit like that. And the old R&B classics and all that shit. And to this day, when I hear any of those classics, them shits is still, like, you still feel a certain way. Are you still going to sing it? Are you still, you know what I'm saying? Right. You're never going to turn the channel off the shit, because good music is good music. So
right.
I just stick to that. If you do the golden era, the boom bap, that was good music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you stick to that formula,
you
can't go wrong. All this other shit, like, it's no soul to this shit now. It's like, I don't know. People try to stay away from sampling, and they doing other shit, like people playing on the keyboard, but they don't have no keyboard skills, so they just plucking.
Perfect.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shit,
right.
They just don't do it for me.
Well, yeah, it's almost as if there's a certain talent aspect that doesn't, like, you don't have to be a musician anymore. Like, that's not necessary. Whereas, you know, guys back in your era, you know, they were specialists in their craft. They, you know, they studied the music, they understood it, and
yeah.
You talked about sampling, and I think sampling is another big thing, because you know, I've often heard different schools of thought, and people say sampling is bad because it stifles creativity. Whereas I think it's just the opposite. Like, sampling,
mm-hmm.
you got to be creative to use samples.
Yeah, and also, it's not just about using the straight sample. It's like, it's an art of chopping samples and making that same thing do something different. You know what I'm saying? It ain't all about old time just taking the whole four-bar loop. You know what I'm saying? You could take the same record and make a whole different shit out of it. Like Premier does all the time. Premier usually, you listen to this shit, like, he sometimes takes a loop, but most of the time he takes some sounds and chop the shit up and make a whole nother, you know, phrase out of it. You got to know how to do that. But I don't think the young, they ain't up on that, or they just don't give a fuck.
Well, yeah, and I think a big part of it, too, is when you look at how fast music is being churned out. Like, when you went to work on an album, like, how long would it take you to produce one versus now, where there's, like, every other month is a new album, it seems like?
Yeah, you got at least 6 months, at least.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some people took a whole year, you know what I'm saying? But you had quality shit, though.
Right.
Now it's like a lot of shit sounds the same. Keep recycling the same drum pattern, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad they're getting money, you know what I'm saying? But
sure,
with the creativity, man, and with the uniqueness, like, everybody got the same flow, like the trap music flow, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Is
that hard for you to stand by and watch? As an artist that you know, given your whole life to the industry and kind of watch where it's at now, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, hell yeah. Especially when I see cats from my era trying to do that shit. Like,
man.
Come on, son. You're destroying your legacy with that shit. Like,
right. I wonder if you could sort of talk about the development of your own personal style, because I mean, you know, before you jumped into the game and said, "I'm here," I imagine there was a fair amount of time that you developed. You know, you spent sort of developing, you know, who you are and you know what your flow was going to be and how you're going to present yourself. How long did that take you, or how was that process for you? What was that like?
Actually, it just kind of just happened for me at the time, because I got lucky, because I knew somebody that knew Biz Mark. And Biz Mark had just got a five-artist production deal, and he didn't have five artists, so he was looking for people. And the cat that I knew told him that, you know what I'm saying, my man, how are you? When they can spit, you should go fuck with him. And it just happened.
Right.
But, like, far, my style was influenced by, my favorite back in the days was Spoonie G. And Kumo D before, when he was down with the Treacherous Three.
Right.
Grandmaster Caz, you know what I'm saying? JDL from the Cold Rush 4, people like that. Tila Rock, I like people that had like real lyrics and storytelling and shit like that. Like back in the days, it was people was just kicking like party rhymes basically until like you heard like Kumo D saying like or Tila Rock with It's Yours, like the shit he was saying was like intelligent shit, but it's crazy. Like the folks like DLB from Phyllis Four, that's like that, like niggas that had real lyricism, Coogee
and,
rap,
and that's and that was the word lyricism, for sure.
Yeah.
And you also touched on the storytelling aspect, which is something that I think is very important. I mean, you talk about back in the day, everything was a story. But hey, I went to the store and I jumped on the bike, and guys were talking about that, and it was fun, and it was mad cool, and they had you kind of hooked on because you wanted to hear the rest of the story. Whereas it's I think there's a certain art form to that. Who's some of the cats that you really appreciated that could tell good stories?
Slick Rick the Ruler. Come on, son. You got to give it up for Slick Rick. Slick Rick, Coogee Rap, who else? It was a lot, not a lot, but it was when Melly Mel dropped a message, what? Like, that was, come on, man. That still to this day is crazy, that rhyme right there. A child was born with no state of mind. Come
on. Man.
Who dropped something like that, like, recently? Nobody.
Right. No,
I haven't heard the, I haven't heard the, what's the name, Kendrick Lamar
album, right?
Joint, but I'm hearing that, you know what I'm saying, he got messages on there, like, type of, you know, some real shit and all that, but I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Bismarck and hooking up with him, and I heard a story about the first time you guys met, and you didn't believe it was him, and you guys had to go meet somewhere, and you had to pick a baseball bat. Tell me that story, because I heard that, and to this day, I always laugh when I heard that story.
Yeah, he, like I said, my man had knew him, and he called me. He was like, no, matter of fact, he came around a boxing biz. Jeff and Biz looking for you. So I'm thinking, I don't, this is some bullshit. So they called my phone. He put Biz on the phone, like, asking me some questions. I said, yeah, this is Biz Mark, right? He's like, yeah. Meet me. I told him to meet me at Blimpie's, which is around the corner from my mom's crib. But we thought it was a joke. So me and my brother had baseball bats, and we was going to go over there. So Webb was playing a joke. We had a motherfucking joke for their ass. But it really was him. You know what I'm saying? He pulled up in BMW and all that.
So what'd you do with your back when you saw it was him? Did you throw him to the side?
Nothing. We still had him. We still had him. You're like, what's the back for? We told him what they were for. We were going to bust your ass if it really wasn't you.
I know, actually quite funny, man. That's a good story, man. That's a great story. Because if it wasn't Biz, you know, it wouldn't have gone good for him, whoever the imposter was.
Not at all.
back in the day, when you joined Cool Chillin', I mean, you know, you had collection of artists. I mean, it's funny when you sort of look back at now, you know, you had some of the best of all time in the early stages. What was that like as an artist just kind of getting into it, and, you know, here you're surrounded by the likes of Kane and G-Rap and obviously Biz?
It was kind of crazy, you know what I'm saying, at first, because I had all their music, you know what I'm saying, I just didn't know them. And then when I met them, you don't know what kind of person is. You think you know what kind of person these people are because of the music, but most of the time it's like totally different from the music and the way they really are. So I didn't really know what to expect, but everybody was cool. You know what I'm saying? Kane didn't fuck with me at first. Mm-hmm. He'd see me and don't say shit. But cool. He rapped. Everybody else embraced me. You know what I'm saying? It was all right. Me and Kane became cool later on.
Right. I guess he was trying to feel you out still, kind of deal. Like, who's this guy?
Yeah, basically.
Right. And And I guess as an artist, I mean, I get that,
yeah,
because you're probably approached by a lot, like you probably approached by a lot of people, and you're like, yeah, what's their game? What are they after? What do they want? So I kind of get that. So how long from that time to you first hooked up with Biz and the rest of the Cold Chillin' crew before you really saw things are gonna take off? Because I'm guessing still there's a point where you're like, yeah, is this for real? Like, really, is this really going down? Like,
no, I knew it was real when I had that first meeting with Burt Bedell and they cut me that check. That's what I mean. Until then, I was still skeptical until they cut that check. And then I was like, okay, I see what it is. Plus, when you go to Burt Bedell's office, like, you see all types of, like, she got a million fucking platinum plaques and all types of shit. Like, so you know there's some real shit here.
Right. I'm guessing there's a little bit of, I don't know, was a little bit of sort of anxiousness or nervousness. I mean, when you arrive, like, this is it. Now I got to step, I got to come correct almost kind of feeling.
Nah, I knew my shit was, you know what I'm saying? My shit was proper, but I just was like, I never done a show, an actual show before. So that's the part I was like, oh, shit.
Right.
I got to perform. Yeah, that was kind of like, but then once I got on the stage, you know what I'm saying, it was, all that nervous butterfly shit was gone.
Gotcha. I mentioned off the top about how you come with the style, you come correct, and you look fly, my man. It's just simple and plain. I mean, you bring it. Is that something that you went into, or is that something that kind of developed as you were formulating yourself as an artist?
No, my man suggested me to, wear the suits and the cane and top hat and all that shit, because that's how he dressed. He was like older. He was an older kid, OG from the hood. You know what I'm saying? And actually, he was from like the late '70s. You know what I'm saying? When motherfuckers used to dress like that for really real. Niggas thought they was everybody thought they was a pimp and all that shit. So he still dressed like that in the '80s, early '90s. To the matter of fact, to the day he died, he still dressed like that. But he told me, like, yo, to rock this right here, different.
Right.
I wear this shit on stage. I'm not on stage, but on, like for my photo shoot or my video, but I ain't walking on the street like this.
Right. So you don't have a stylist. You do it all your own. You don't
have
anyone helps you out there. You take care of yourself.
Nah.
That's that's a skill. That's an acquired skill, man. Because people got stylists and they help them out and fix them up, and you just come through and come correct.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from that era, so you know what I'm saying. You had to be fly, but now they wearing all kind of shit. Now they wearing girls' clothes and shit like that. And you got to stop. Like, you serious? You pay somebody to fucking dress you in girls' clothes? What the fuck? That's crazy.
I got to tell you, man, you got to be one of the realest cats out there. I mean, I've always said that from a distance, and we're just talking out. I'm thinking the same thing. You just keep it real, and I think that's what people really appreciate about you, that, they know what to expect from you. You're going to keep it real.
Yeah, that's the only way I know how to be, man.
And I think it's important as an artist, too. I think that's how fans kind of connect with you, right?
I'm hoping.
No doubt. So here's what I'm thinking we do. We're talking about you and the music. Let's throw to one of your songs. How about This Is a Recorded, and we can give our listeners a chance to hear some of that smooth style we've been talking about. So if that's cool with you, let's jump into This Is a Recording by Grand
Absolutely.
Daddy IU.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. We'll be right back.
take a ride through the tunnels of thought, and daddy used the guide. So fasten your seatbelt, prepare for takeoff. Everything becomes a blur as we break north. Exploring innovative concepts, the brain makes a motivate. Don't be late, cause the train takes flight at midnight. Through the course, I just might bypass the speed of light. So hold tight and watch the closing doors. The train is now boarding. Next stop, the record shop, cause this is a recording. Thinking of a rhyme, looking for something new, something kind of pumping that people can swing to. Mellow and slow with a flow so swift, and you know this is a gift only the you can come up with. But something is wrong, can't get my thoughts straight, too many distractions, can't concentrate. I need peace, so I step for self to the lab and grab a pen and pad off the shelf. Dig deep into the back of my brain and close my eyes, drift off deep in a sleep, then I visualize a mic in my hand on stage at a nightclub, and the brain lights up like a light bulb. Then ideas start to flow, sharp as a dart, you know. Next scene, the U tears apart the show. Now the rhyme is complete, clever as ever. Now all I need is a dope beat. I dig into the crates of breaks from back in the days, from Isaac Hayes on down to the OJs, but never the same sound. Not putting names down, but rappers tend to use too many samples from James Brown. So I scoop a bass line from an old group, then take it to the studio and make it a loop. But still it's bad without a kick and a snare, so put it in there. Oh yeah, I'm on the verge, about to get hyped soon. Time to release, so I fleece to the mic room. And as I lay the vocal tracks down, you're spellbound. Amazing how dope it sounds. Put K on the set to add a cut and a scratch to match. Doc on the boards and all the samples attached. Then add the final touch and make sure it's raw. Then the record is pressed and blessed. And yes, this is a pull up a chair, kick back and relax, open your ear and listen to the voice on wax. The music curl is smooth and mellow, satisfying your mind. The rap I thrown stands alone, so it's easy to find. And the engage, just slay the foes, that's the way it goes. Close your eyes, say your rhyme and pray your flows nice and easy, the way it's supposed to be. Still, your chances of ever coming close to me, highly unlikely. To fight me might be slightly suicidal, so don't try to ignite me, cause I don't burn. You is not sparkable. Lyrics I drop and concoct are remarkable. As I proceed, satisfaction is guaranteed, that you would do it to a slow speed indeed. But still can't a brother pass, I get rid of others fast. Don't get me hype or I might kick your mother's. Cause daddy you is cold ruthless, I'll leave you juiceless. Now all excuses are useless, so save all the talk, cause I ain't listening. Homes, you keep yapping and I'ma start slapping domes. For those whose brains frozen couldn't comprehend, lift up the needle and play it again. This is a report. This is a recording. Yeah. And daddy you.
Pleased to be joined by Granddaddy IU. We just heard This Is a Recording, a very smooth track, my man. Very, very smooth.
I mean, this is a recording.
Man. Going going sort of as you listen to that song now, what kind of memories producing that track do you have?
I remember DJ Dot played the piano on and shit, and he like freestyled the whole shit, the whole track out. And we were sitting there like, oh shit, this shit is crazy, because he wasn't really a piano player either, but he had a few lessons or whatever, but that shit came together right. We were like, oh shit, I think we got something.
That was the first
joint I did in the studio, making the album. That was the first joint.
Wow. And it very much captured the essence of you. Like when you listen to that song, you say, yo, that's Granddaddy IU right there.
Yeah.
So to be able to do that as your first song out of the studio thing. And you nailed it, that's pretty dope.
Yeah. That, but everybody know me more for Something New and Sugar Free. Like you gotta be a real hip hop head to, you know what I'm saying, know about that. This is a recording joint. But you say something new, they go, oh God, here we go. And I hate to fucking perform that shit now, right? But you know.
You hate it? Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know, man, because it's, you know, that's like, all the time. That's all I get, like, something, like, shit, man. I got real something new for real. Like, let's go to that.
I got a lot of new stuff, man.
Yeah, for real.
But I mean, having Biz come through on that, I mean, and maybe that's part of why people kind of gravitate to that song. As an artist, everyone's got that one signature song that you go, yup.
Yeah.
So maybe something new is always going to be something new. It's for you, man.
Yeah, I know, because it's like catchy. Because I heard the sample, and I just wanted to rock off the shit. I didn't have, matter of fact, Pool V, this DJ, he was really, mm-hmm. like, he was the one that really came up with the hook, kind of, like, you know what I'm saying? Because we were stuck, like, what the fuck are we going to do for this hook? I had the rhymes, but I didn't have the hook.
Right.
Like, yo, get some bras and sing this shit. What's the last thing? He's like, something new? That was it.
Right. was the plan always to have Biz sing that hook, or that just kind
of... Nah, Biz did the remix. First the girls did it, Biz come and did the remix, but I didn't really have nothing to do with that. They, Cool V produced that remix and just called me to the studio, like, come through and lay the verses over, add a new verse. When I got there, Biz was there. He already sang the shit. So it was like, at this point, I'm already rolling. So
right.
I ain't even want to be in the studio, really. Now I got money. I got bras everywhere. I want to be in the studio doing my thing, man. This shit taking time out of my motherfucking personal life to come do this remix shit. But
we're like, we don't do remixes, man. I already did this song once.
Yeah, I did this shit, man. I'm trying to get some ass. I'm trying to... Go to the club, pop champagne, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Yeah, when you're young, you know, that's how it is. But
right.
If I didn't do that shit now, I mean, then I'd be trying to do that, chase that bullshit now, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I did that already, so
right
now,
right,
focus.
Right. How long did it take you to essentially grow up, if you will? Like you said, you got in young and you ran around and had fun. When did you kind of get to that point where I got to take this serious now?
Shit. When Cold Chillin' went out of business, then I was like, oh, shit, what the fuck do I do now?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And you got yourself, I mean, you've done producing, you've done ghostwriting, you've done a little bit of everything, it seems.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you prefer being behind or in front?
I just like making music, man. Like people say, if once you turn a certain age, you got no business rapping no more. But I feel as long as you still good, as long as you nice with it, and you still got something to say, why would you stop? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So that's what kept me sharp, because I didn't stop even when I didn't have a deal, when Coach was out, you know what I'm saying, went belly up and all that shit. I still always made it because I loved to do it.
Right.
So that's what kept me on my A game. So right now, you know what I'm saying, I'm still sharp with it. So.
And really, isn't it the fans that sort of dictate how long you should be rapping for? Like, I mean, if they're still feeling you and they're still wanting to hear you, they're the ones that can give you that. Yeah, they'll tell you when it's time to go.
Nah, it should be yourself and then your man's next, because you should know when this shit sound whack. But some people just try to skate by, and then the motherfucker that they have with them in the studio, the yes mans and shit.
Right.
Yeah, that shit is dope, man. Put that shit out. Nah, motherfucker should be like, nah, that shit whack as hell. But first,
right,
you should be like, yo, hold up. You know that ain't, you know what I'm saying? You know how it was when you hit that shit and you really nailed it. You
right.
know, you get that feeling. You know, there's some shit right here. I did my thing.
Right.
If you don't
right.
get that
right.
feeling, if you're listening to it and you got that solid look on your face, like, oh, shit. Looking
yeah,
around like
that.
So, you know, a lot of artists had the yes men around them, and because of that, they released a lot of whack shit.
Right, and they really shouldn't be, is what you're saying. I got you.
And then when they touch the fans, and the fans get it, they're going to let your ass have it.
Right.
Like, nigga.
Right.
What the
well,
fuck
well,
is this?
But as they should, though, right? Fans should be the
first. Yeah, hell yeah.
Out of here. They should
yeah,
be
nah, they no. It should be your man's first, because your man's gonna hear it before
right.
the fans hear it.
Right.
Yeah, then the fans should yeah. And hip hop fans, they don't play that shit.
Right, right, right.
Like rock and roll, everybody else could pass.
Right, right. So I, as an artist, like I mean, you know, we got you know artists today that are sort of still living off stuff that they did, you know, 10, 15 years ago, because the fans still want to hear that. There's a point where that stops too, do you think? Or when do you say, you know what, look, man, it's cool. Let's hang that up now, because you did that enough.
Yeah. Because it's a lot of old school artists that I wouldn't want to hear do new shit, but I go see them in concert, you know what I'm saying? I go see them perform their old shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I think, and rock and roll, like if the Rolling Stones drop a new album today, that shit's going to go fly off the shelf immediately.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't know what that is, what's the difference, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. But, you know, you've worked with a lot of artists. You know, is there anyone out there that you haven't worked with that you'd still want to?
Yeah, I would like to do a joint with Slick Rick. A joint with Jadakiss. I like Jadakiss. He's one of my favorite. That's it. Other than that, like, I want to do some. I would want to do a joint with Ninja Man.
Gotcha. Well, listen. The fusion between hip hop and reggae is definitely there, and you know, even we talk about the golden era, we definitely saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, Supercat was killing it, and I think he was one of the earlier reggae artists that really showed you there's a connection between the two, right?
Yeah, but Supercat, you know, he go way back.
Mm.
But like when you check out like the real origins of hip hop. And fucking the dancehall shit is like the echo chamber, the same shit, like the same, like it's the same. Like they was just, I think they started doing it before we did, really.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? With the chatting and shit, DJing, what they call DJing or whatever,
DJ.
Chatting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they was doing that shit like way back.
Yep.
You know, Kool Herc was Jamaican, so you know what I'm saying, he the one that started this shit, so of course fusion is dead. Like, that's definitely an integral part of the whole shit.
Right, no doubt. Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well, it definitely is. Yeah, I mean, again, we talk about the fusion and the connection between the two is definitely there, and it's nice to see that it still does very much exist, so, which is cool, which is very cool, man.
Yeah.
For sure. Mad Grandiarity, this has been mad cool having you roll through here. We got to give our listeners an opportunity to know what you're up to these days and what you got going on, because I'm sure fans of yours, you know, what's Granddad even saying, man? What's he got going on? What's up?
I got the PIMP album. That's Paper is My Priority. You know what I'm saying? Not You know, you hear PIMP, you always think, oh, this nigga think he pimping some hoes. Nah, paper is my priority. And that's out right now. You know what I'm saying? I got the steady flow T-shirts and hats. You know what I'm saying? That you get that from my website, granddaddyiu.com. I'm on Twitter at granddaddyiu. I'm on Instagram, original granddaddy. I'm on all the social media shit and all that. You know what I mean? I'm working with a couple of artists too.
Gotcha. The paper is my priority. Tell us about some of the production. Who helped you out with that?
I got Marco Polo on there. Got a couple of up and coming cats like Cat Guap Sullivan. He's a Diamond D protege. And I got a cat named Blunt. He's from somewhere in Canada. I don't know if it's Toronto or. He's a crazy hip hop producer too. His name is Blunt, but I'm not sure what part of Canada he's from though. Other than that, I do all my production besides, you know, I get a couple here and there but from other people.
Sure.
I do my own shit.
Sure. You know, it's really cool. I was on your website earlier before, and I did see the PIMP album. But what I thought was really cool is you give people an opportunity to get a hard copy of it, man.
Yeah.
That's special, man. Let's keep it real. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
Don't download it. I'm gonna give you a chance to order your own hard copy of that, man.
Yeah. You know, some people still wanna bust that. You know what I'm saying? Bust that plastic open. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pop that shit in.
That's it. Well, you know, and you hear you talk about social media and that you're on all these platforms. I think that's also when you talk about, we talked earlier about the differences of now and then, and, you know, just imagine, you know, social media back in the day, what it would have been like for you, man. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that shit would have been crazy. But, yeah,
no,
I mean, it's a good platform, you know what I'm saying? Get your shit out there. Without paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for marketing and all that shit, if you independent artist, you don't have that.
Right.
So
right.
You know what I'm saying.
And I think what it does, it gives you an opportunity to talk directly to your fans.
To the fans, yeah.
You can't beat that.
Yeah, like anybody hit me up, you know what I'm saying? I answer them. I run my own social media shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not nobody doing
my
shit.
You answer everything.
Yeah, I answer everything. Yeah.
Nice. Well, we'll have to. So we'll encourage our fans. Hit up Granddaddy IU on Twitter, Instagram. He answers, right? He'll respond back, which is mad cool. And that's what fans want, to be able to connect and touch and talk to their favorite artist. So appreciate hearing that. And I'm glad you're doing your thing still, keeping it moving. Granddaddy IU, appreciate you rolling through Down with the Kings. And we'll have to do
this
down the road sometime, my friend.
Anytime.
Appreciate you.